All right, our third case is number 20-11326, Cheshire Bridge Holdings, LLC versus the City of Atlanta. Mr. Aronson, you can start us off.
Good morning, Your Honors. This case fundamentally and quite candidly solely deals with the definitions of adult businesses in the City of Atlanta and the subparts of that definition and whether they are overbroad. That being adult bookstore, adult motion picture theater, adult mini motion picture theater, adult cabaret, and an adult entertainment establishment. I'm going to excuse you, Your Honors, but I'm getting signs on my computer about starting the video, and so I don't know if there's any problem on your end. Right now,
so if we're supposed to be able to see you, we can't.
I thought I did it. Let me.
No, you were on when you started, and then you sort of blacked out. So.
Yeah, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything, and it's still giving me this trouble. Let me see what I can do. Oh, it's not doing anything for me.
Well, Mr. Aronson, if you're having that sort of computer issue, we'll just make do and hear you by audio. So just go right ahead with your argument, and hopefully you can get that fixed at some point during the argument.
I'm trying to. I will tell you, I look much better in person.
The camera does wonders for all of us. All of us.
So. Anyhow, can you give me 1 second? I have somebody trying to help me here. It's not allowing me. I'll proceed on.
Okay.
As I was saying, that this is a challenge to the definitions of adult entertainment, of the adult entertainment businesses in Atlanta, the subgroupings, adult mini motion picture theater, adult motion picture theater, the adult bookstore, adult cabaret, and adult entertainment establishment.
Well, let's start with adult bookstore. There is language in the district court's order which says that definition was not really teed up, and you never moved for summary judgment on it. The city thought that it wasn't an issue, so it just didn't address it. So what are we to do with the adult bookstore part of this case?
Well, first of all, we moved for a summary judgment on the definition of adult business. And adult bookstore is one of the subgroups. So the bottom line of it is we believe that we've also covered adult bookstore in it.
But you never presented any argument about that definition, right?
We did not present any extensive argument. It was based on the umbrella argument of adult business. Yes, I agree with you.
Right. But the fact that three of those definitions might be problematic doesn't mean that the fourth one is.
Well, if the court, this is a nesting type of definition. If you find to be unconstitutional the adult entertainment establishment, the adult motion picture theaters, and adult cabaret, the definition of adult business makes no sense because adult business does include all five of those subgroups. So it can't stand alone, adult business just being an adult bookstore. That would make no sense whatsoever to the purpose of the code, which is defining adult businesses in their totality, not in the singular.
Yeah, I understand that argument. That argument is different, though. That argument is, hey, if we're successful in knocking out four or three of the four or four of the five definitions, it makes no sense to keep that one definition standing. The whole thing has to go by the wayside. So I understand that argument, but there's no separate attack on adult bookstore in and of itself, right?
Yes, but there is the defense of that in the city's motion for summary judgment, where they were asking for summary judgment on the definition of adult bookstore. So therefore, we may not be entitled to summary judgment on our attack on the definition of adult bookstore. But if we are correct, the city is not entitled to summary judgment either.
But it's got to be a claim you presented. You're the plaintiff, right?
We did. I cannot disagree with this court.
Okay. Let me ask you a question about the zone. So this is a zoning ordinance. What does the ordinance require you to do? Where does it require you to be located?
It requires us to be, it's not where it requires us to be located, it's where it prevents us from being located.
Okay, well, where does it prevent you then?
It prevents us to be, excuse me?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It prevents us to being located in generally commercial districts in which normal theaters can be located, in which normal bookstores can be located, in which normal.
I guess my point is, doesn't it say something like 500 feet from a residential area? Isn't that the restriction it imposes, or am I wrong about that?
Well, you're correct, but you're conflating two different things. One is the zoning districts that we are prevented from going into, and then where we are allowed to go into, we still have to meet the 500 feet and the 1,000 feet zoning separations. So it's a double whammy, for lack of a better legal phrase. We are not allowed in all districts that all commercial establishments that are parallel to our types of uses are allowed it to be in. And when we are allowed into certain districts, we then have distance separations that those same underlying commercial uses, namely theaters or cabarets, would not have to have those same restrictions.
I don't think I saw an argument in your brief to the effect that there were not other alternative avenues for your expressive conduct.
We did not argue that there were not sufficient alternative avenues of communication. That's not an issue for today.
So it's really kind of irrelevant whether you are precluded from all commercial zones.
Excuse me, Your Honor, but it's totally not irrelevant.
Let me suggest it might be relevant, and maybe I'm wrong, but if I understood your argument correctly, your argument is that if these definitions aren't, or could apply, for example, to mainstream productions involving nudity, that they would be overbroad because the rights of people who are not you, but somebody else who might want to have a mainstream production involving nudity, that their First Amendment rights would be violated. And I guess that's the question that I have about the zoning, is that I assume that you're right about the definitions. Why, given that this is zoning and not a ban, why would we necessarily say that it would be unconstitutional for the city of Atlanta to say, just assume it's 500 feet, that if you want to have a production involving nudity, it can't be within 500 feet of a house? Like, why would that be unconstitutional?
Well, again, it's not just the zoning as far as distance, but it's also that we are relegated to certain zones. But the bottom line of it is.
You didn't answer my question. Why would that be? I understand in these other cases, it's a ban. So the city is saying no of this. And then the question is, if whatever the definition does, if it applies to just regular sort of mainstream nudity, I get why that's a constitutional problem. They're banning it. But here, the most that you're arguing is that the city might be saying that if you want to have a production involving nudity, it has to be in a particular area. Why would that be unconstitutional?
Because it's an infringement on First Amendment protected expression. It's a chilling effect. Let me give you an example. You have a theater, and it wants to put on the play Hair or Equus or Old Calcutta, but it can't because it's in a certain zone district. We don't know, and we will never know, how much First Amendment expression has been stifled because the venues in which they want to put these plays on, these movies in, are not zoned correctly for it.
What theaters are, I mean, I guess, and that's my question. I mean, that's why it goes to the zoning issue. I would understand your point if Atlanta were banning the activity, because then you could just say, well, look, there's some theater somewhere that might want to put this on and they can't. But I guess my question is, like, this is just a zoning thing. So for all we know, every single theater in Atlanta is already complying with the zoning, right? So they could put on whatever they want to.
Well, let me present it this way, if I may. What allows cities, counties, different governmental entities to regulate adult entertainment in certain ways is that they are presumed to have cause adverse secondary effects. Those that do not cause adverse secondary effects should not be treated the exact same way. Now you say, well, it's only a zoning regulation. City of Renton versus Playtime Theater specifically comes across with the time, place, and manner restrictions. This is a place restriction. And in order to have a valid place restriction, you must be able to show adverse secondary effects and that it furthers a substantial governmental interest. These relegating mainstream entertainment, if we can use that term right now, to different areas of the city where all entertainment is not allowed is an improper place restriction, because now you are silencing speech in those areas that that other speech that does not show a breast, that does not show a fleeting nudity, that does not show hair, equus, as I said before. You are relegating them to a place, and that is an improper time, place, and manner restrictions, because they do not cause adverse secondary effects, and they do not, and it does not further a substantial governmental interest to relegate them to these areas, to these distant separations. That is why it is unconstitutionally overbroad, and it has a chilling effect, because we will never know how many plays, how many shows, how many artistic exhibitions, how many various forms of communication have been stifled because they had no places to go, or they chose not, they wanted to go to a commercial district where they were totally entitled to be at, and not under the adult entertainment definitions as the City of Atlanta's overbreath definitions do provide.
Okay, Mr. Aronson, thank you very, very much. You've saved your time for rebuttal. Ms. Wagner.
May it please the court, Laura Wagner on behalf of the City of Atlanta. The City of Atlanta's adult business zoning ordinances are not overbroad, because properly construed, the definitions of adult businesses apply only to businesses that would be traditionally thought of as such. And those are the ones that regularly present adult fare.
Ms. Wagner, can I stop you for a second? There's something that's been perplexing me about this case, and maybe it matters and maybe it doesn't matter. But in 1981, a federal district court in the Purple Onion case issued a declaratory judgment and permanent injunction against a similar, although not identical, zoning ordinance by the City of Atlanta. Some of the language in this ordinance is virtually the same as the language that was permanently enjoined by the district court in 1981. What is going on here?
So, Your Honor, the Purple Onion case found several problems with the 1977 version of the city's zoning ordinance. First, it found that it might apply to a house and not only a business, because it didn't say that it specifically applied to commercial establishments. So to correct that, the city, when it reenacted the ordinance, added that the entertainment in adult movie theaters, for example, had to be shown to patrons therein. With result to adult entertainment establishments, what concerned the district court in Purple Onion was that whether something was an adult entertainment establishment turned on the subjective, whether it appealed to the prurient interests of the patron therein. So the city changed that as well to have an objective standard, saying that only if dancers are nude or substantially nude does that render something an adult entertainment establishment. So the city fixed all of the problems the district court found in Purple Onion. And in fact, what the district court said was the city could have mostly more closely adhered to the definitions approved in Young by the Supreme Court in 1976. So the city adopted verbatim the definitions of adult motion picture theaters and adult bookstores from Young. So these definitions-
for example, and you can tell me where I'm wrong, the definition of adult theater doesn't seem to have changed.
It does, Your Honor. They added that it had to be used for presenting material to patrons for observation by patrons therein.
How did that make it that's nonsensical from my perspective, because the only reason you would have had a zoning ordinance in the first place in 1977 was to prevent patrons from seeing either simulations or displays of nudity or other erotic conduct. How else could it have applied if you didn't have patrons coming in?
I agree, Your Honor. And the city's original intent in 1977 was it for it only to apply to businesses. But despite being called adult businesses, the district court in Purple Onion said it doesn't necessarily only apply because it applies to any building used for presenting material. And so they said it could apply to a house. And to fix that, they said, go ahead and adopt the definitions from Young. And that's exactly what the city did. It adds the patrons language to make clear, just in case it wasn't already, that only commercial establishments are subject to the adult business zoning ordinance.
Okay, let me ask you one more question and then I'll stop. Okay, let's go to adult entertainment establishment.
Yes.
That has a certain number of disjunctive definitions, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I would like to talk about the first disjunctive definition and have you tell me why that is constitutional. Any place of business or commercial establishment wherein the entertainment or activity therein consists of nude or substantially nude persons dancing with or without music. The Supreme Court has held, for better or for worse, that nude dancing is activity protected by the First Amendment. So tell me how that first disjunctive definition satisfies constitutional scrutiny.
Yes, Your Honor. So the Supreme Court has held that exotic dancing and exotic nude dancing is in the outer ambit of First Amendment protections. So cities and towns cannot ban nude dancing. But what cities and towns can do is use their zoning powers to contain the negative secondary effects of businesses that present such nude dancing from uses which they're incompatible, like residential use. So the city cannot ban exotic dancing. And this ordinance doesn't do that. What it does is it says where in the city of Atlanta you can have an adult business that is a strip club that's presenting nude or substantially nude dancers with or without music.
Even though you're not tying it to things like the sale of alcohol?
Correct. Now, courts have recognized that the sale of alcohol combined with adult entertainment makes for even worse negative secondary effects. But even without negative secondary effects, or without alcohol, rather, the city, you know, relied on over 400 pages of evidence that is in the record of the negative secondary effects brought about by adult businesses like adult entertainment establishments, whether or not they have alcohol, and the urban blight and the decreased property values, increased crime that often come with these types of businesses, which is why it's appropriate to separate them from incompatible uses like schools, churches, and residential neighborhoods.
What's the best case that you have that upholds a zoning limitation on nude or semi-nude dancing in and of itself?
Nude or semi-nude dancing zoning?
This definition right here, tell me a case that upholds that under a zoning rationale without there being a tie-in to alcohol or other sorts of secondary problems.
I believe, Your Honor, Baby Dolls Topless Saloons is the Fifth Circuit case that upholds an adult business zoning ordinance. And I think what's important here is the reason that there aren't too many cases like ours is because these laws have been on the books for a half a century. And the notion that they might have been unconstitutionally chilling speech for that whole time and nobody thought to challenge them would just be sort of wild, Your Honor. The Dallas ordinance subjected establishments classified as sexually oriented businesses to zoning restrictions, and the Fifth Circuit upheld that restriction. And, you know, it said that the probability that something will regularly present adult fare as its essential quality and not actually be a sexually oriented business is highly improbable. So there's no likely chilling that comes from taking strip clubs and telling them where in the city of Atlanta they can and cannot be located.
Okay, thank you very much for answering my questions.
Yes. And so the overbreadth analysis proceeds in several steps, and the Supreme Court teaches that the first step is construing the statute at issue. In our case, that step is dispositive because Cheshire's whole argument is rides on that this law could be applied to a community theater showing the musical Hair or the Atlanta Ballet staging a ballet that has one nude dancer in it. And that premise is just incorrect, Your Honor, because when you go through the first step of the overbreadth analysis, and that's to construe the statute, as I mentioned, these definitions of adult theaters are the same as they were in Young. And the district court correctly found that baked into the concept of zoning is that a use is regular. You know, that was the same as the situation in Pangea Cinema, which the district court relied on and we did as well, where it doesn't specify how frequently a use must occur, but one weekend of erotic films does not an adult theater make. And Judge Thrash similarly found that it's baked into the concept of zoning that properties are categorized based on their regular use rather than uses to which they might occasionally be put. And not only is it baked into the concept of zoning itself that the uses, that the zoning restrictions apply to regular uses, but in the city of Atlanta's code, that is expressed. The city's code applies to the principal uses of buildings. So if you take, for one example that allows adult businesses, the C5 Central Business Support Districts set forth in the city zoning code says, a building or premises shall be used only for the following principal purposes. One, adult businesses as defined in section 16-29.001. And then it directs the reader to section 16-28.016 for locational requirements. And those are the requirements Judge Brasher was referencing earlier about in the proper zone, you still have to be 500 feet from a residential area. And then similarly, the city's the city code defines the word used as used includes the words intended, designed, or arranged to be used or occupied. And same with the word building, it includes the words intended, designed, or arranged to be used or occupied. So only a building that is intended, designed, or arranged to be occupied as, say, an adult motion picture theater and principally used as an adult motion picture theater is an adult motion picture theater subject to the City of Atlanta's zoning ordinance. And so the way Cheshire tries to get around this is misdirection. It says that, you know, cases and consensus require temporal limits in zoning laws, but there is no prevailing consensus that temporal limitations or a so-called mainstream exception needs to be in a zoning law. And the consensus from this case, from Schmitty's, from Pangea Cinema, and from the half century that these laws have been on the books is that those words need not apply. What separates these cases from the cases Cheshire relies on, the non-zoning cases, is that here there is a readily available narrowing construction, and there weren't. If you say you can never do activity X in town Y, you can never have a nude person where alcohol is served, there's no way to narrow that. So even though courts are constrained to adopt narrowing constructions where the law is readily susceptible to it, there was no narrowing construction. Here, there is. And the same reasoning applies equally to adult entertainment establishments as it did to adult theaters.
Did you propose a narrowing construction to the district court, or did the district court come up with it on its own?
So we proposed, Your Honor, that the word regularly is baked into the concept of zoning and also demonstrated in the city's code by principal use. So that narrowing construction was suggested by the city. Cheshire says that the court went off on its own and adopted a whole bunch of narrowing constructions, which isn't true. The only thing the court said that we hadn't said is that the word consists of mean consists almost entirely of. So for a ballet to, be characterized, consist of nude dancing, it would have to consist almost entirely of nude dancing. Now that is the legal definition of the word as cited by the district court. But even if it weren't, even if you took Cheshire's argument that it could mean one of a number of ingredients, the law would still be valid because there are not mainstream theaters that regularly present shows that have even one as a number of ingredients, nude or substantially nude people dancing. And so the same reasoning applies to live entertainment, which is the adult entertainment establishments and adult cabarets, as it did to the adult motion picture theaters. Essentially the same definition was at issue in Schmitty's as is here, which was an adult cabaret is a building that features topless dancers, strippers, or male or female impersonators. And the district court out of hand rejected a challenge to it because he said, you wouldn't call a bar a martini bar if it served martinis once a year, just like you wouldn't call a club a jazz club if 99% of its music was rock and roll. And again, the regularity concept is not only baked into zoning, but expressed in the city's code. And I think it's important to note that the Sixth Circuit has twice upheld definitions of adult cabaret that define it as an establishment that features as a principal use of its business entertainers, waiters, or bartenders bearing certain body parts. In that case is Entertainment Productions, Inc. versus Shelby County, Tennessee. It's at 588 F3rd 372, and it's from 2009. And so the Sixth Circuit said the principal use is the most important use of a building. And even if a building could be deemed to have several equally important uses, so several principal uses, you know, a single run of a show like Hair would never be deemed a principal use because a specific play cannot rationally be deemed a principal use of a building. So that's the same language that's in the city's zoning code. It's the principal uses of buildings that the zoning code applies to. So the, you know, just like the Midtown Art Cinema is not rendered an adult motion picture theater for showing a single erotic film or a weekend pornotopia, the Atlanta Ballet is likewise not rendered an adult entertainment establishment if it chooses to stage a ballet with a nude dancer. So it's not that the city, as Cheshire has suggested, suggests that the city's restraint enforcement somehow makes this law valid. It's that the law is not overbroad as reflected by the city's enforcement history. It simply does not apply to one-off or isolated instances of nudity.
Let me ask you before you wrap up, I just want to ask you this thing that's been bothering me. So this is an overbreadth challenge. And so you have to show basically substantial overbreadth. So you have to show that this law is going to repress speech that's not necessarily the speech of the actor, but the speech of somebody else. Does it matter for gauging that kind of overbreadth challenge to a zoning ordinance, the degree to which the zoning ordinance actually restricts locations within an area? So for example, should we gauge the zoning ordinance, the overbreadth challenge differently if the zoning ordinance only applies to like 1% of Atlanta's territory, or if the zoning ordinance applies to 99% of Atlanta's territory?
So Your Honor, that analysis would be done in the intermediate scrutiny that's applicable to time, place, and manner restrictions set forth in Renton. And the district court did that in the first round of summary judgment briefing. And Cheshire abandoned that on appeal in the first round, as this court recognized in its opinion from a couple of years ago. So while you know, the Supreme Court has held that, you know, as little as 5% of an area available for adult uses is sufficient, but it's the challenger's burden to show that there wouldn't be sufficient ample alternative channels of communication. And here Cheshire didn't challenge that, and the city has already passed the
intermediate. Well, I guess my point is, so for this overbreath challenge, it's the plaintiff's obligation to show a sort of substantial overbreath, that it's diminishing speech. If, for example, as a matter of fact, the zoning ordinance in Atlanta only applied to like 500 square feet, and it only kept an adult theater from being placed in 500 square feet of all the territory of Atlanta, would we look at that overbreath challenge the same way as something that just banned them from being in 100% of Atlanta? Would we just do it the same way?
Well, Your Honor, overbreath challenges aren't subject to sort of, it's sort of elusive how to define when overbreath is substantial. And that's actually the role of the judiciary. But the chilling effect can obviously be expected to decline as the reach of the statute declines. So if the statute would only keep adult businesses out of 1 acre of Atlanta, that would certainly inform the court's decision on whether there was substantial overbreath, because, you know, the reason that speech is deterred is because of the threat of enforcement. There would be so few businesses in that 1 acre that there isn't a threat of enforcement that would make a real and substantial threat to constitutionally protected speech. So it would come into play in, you know, the balancing that Your Honors do in these types of cases.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Wagner. Mr. Aronson.
I still do not have video, but I'll still proceed on.
Thank you.
I'd like to address, hopefully I can get through, with three different areas I'd like to go into. Your Honor, you mentioned the Purple Onion case. And in the Purple Onion case, if you recall, the district court judge found that the ordinance would apply, the definitions would apply to every hotel in downtown Atlanta that showed pay-per-view movies because they would become adult theaters. That is still the same case right now. Right now, the city would have the ability, if it wanted to classify the Marriott, the Hyatt Regency, and every other hotel as an adult theater and the rooms within it as adult mini motion picture theaters because they show adult movies and they are for patrons to pay within. And so therefore, I do agree with this court that the city did not learn from Purple Onion and did not change anything. We never discussed yet, and I'd like to get into the fact that there is no safe harbor provisions in these definitions. It is routinely accepted now that you need a safe harbor provision for mainstream literary, artistic, scientific, meaning doctors' conventions and things of the like, in order for a definition, an ordinance such as this to be constitutional. Without the safe harbor, again, it is almost universally understood that that makes these types of definitions unconstitutional. The Judge Brasher lastly just asked the question about whether it would matter as to just, you know, 1 acre or 5 acres or 500 acres, whatever in the city. I think this court has answered that question in the case of FF Cosmetics, which was not specifically a zoning case, but it was a regulatory case. But in that case, this court acknowledged that even though only a small part of Miami Beach was going to be prevented from having leaflets handed out in that, that was still enough for the overbreath of the leafleting ordinance. And the same thing would apply here. It doesn't matter whether it's 1 square foot or whether it's the entire city. The affront to the First Amendment is the same, an overbreath. Now, quite candidly, I don't know if anybody would be bringing the challenge if it was 1 square foot, but it does not change the constitutionality and it does not change the constitutional analysis of it. The city argues that regularly used or regularly featured are baked into the zoning code, and that may be correct, but they're not baked into these individual definitions. These individual definitions of adult businesses have their own wordings in them. And because they have their own wordings in them and they are not baked into them, they have to stand on their own. And these definitions are limitations definitions. We acknowledge that the regular use is where a theater would go. But if it shows one adult movie, it becomes an adult motion picture theater. That is what is written in the code because it talks about presenting. I'd like to give one example, if I may, as to why of why you can't read consists of the way Judge Thrash did. You have an adult club. You have a club in the city of Atlanta. It has dancers dancing. And for the first dance, the dancers do not take off any of their clothes. For the second dance, they do not take off any of their clothes. But for the third dance, they become completely nude. According to the way Judge Thrash interpreted the code in order for it to be constitutional, that would not be an adult cabaret. Why? Because only one third of the time that the performance was on would there be an exposure of specified anatomical areas. Now, I will point out in the definition of adult entertainment establishment, the city did feel compelled to have a safe harbor for physical fitness studios, but not for entertainment. So they knew exactly what they were doing. The definitions of specified anatomical areas and nudity and semi-nudity are so overbroad that any production that shows the cleavage of a cleavage of a woman's breasts or the outer sides of a woman's breasts that are commonly seen in evening wear and bikinis makes it an adult entertainment establishment. And it doesn't have to be the entertainer. It talks about activity within those establishments, not the entertainer. So poolside bars and things of that like would be adult cabarets under the definition. And I tell this court jokingly, but seriously, any place within the city of Atlanta where Kim Kardashian walks into automatically becomes an adult cabaret and an adult entertainment establishment, because she routinely is showing specified anatomical areas or semi-nudity as defined under this code. And that alone, because she always walks in suggestively, and whether there's music or not, that becomes an adult entertainment establishment. This code is overbroad. It does not protect constitutionally protected expression. And whether it's a zoning code, or whether it's a licensing code or a regulatory code, the chilling effect of the First Amendment is the same.
All right, thank you both very much. We appreciate it.
How did I look?
You look great. Black looks good on you.
Thank you.